Hey everybody, it's over here. We got Jer, we got Susie, Susanna, and a special guest, Chris 51.
Hey, hey.
How's it going, everybody?
Good.
Doing awesome.
Good. I wanted to find out from Chris, how did you get started tattooing?
Oh man, out of necessity, really. I actually own a music store, and Napster hit, you know, back in the day, and so the bottom dropped out for independent music stores owner because, you know, vinyl hadn't made its resurgence yet at that time. So I tried to get creative and start selling like chain wallets and rock t-shirts, and then Hot Topic got big and I was like, fuck dude, I can't win. So I was like, maybe I'll tattoo. I had a bunch of tattoos. I was like, I'll tattoo in my music store. And I couldn't find anyone to tattoo. They're all a bunch of cons and ex-tweakers, you know, tweakers and stuff. So, because this was way before it was on TV and everything. This is 20 years ago. So I was like, I've always drawn. I'll just do it myself. And then once I started tattooing myself, I was like, fuck the music store. This is what I was meant to do. So, and I was in bands and stuff, and I was a horrible musician, so I had to pick one of them. So luckily I was a better artist than I was a musician. So,
but so music store first, so that is what...
Oh yeah, that was my first love. That was my first love, absolutely.
First band you saw live?
You know, my first band I saw live kind of ruined me because it was AC/DC, Who Made Who Tour. And how do you top that? As like a middle schooler, and you walk into this arena and you see this giant bell raise out of the stage and Angus Young comes out, you know, playing a riff and smoke and your jaw, your brain literally fucking explodes and you're like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life, and you never top that moment, you know? I could imagine it's like the first time you do heroin or something. Not that I ever have, but it's probably the same sort of scenario.
I was 14 and I saw Motorhead and Ozzy Osbourne with Randy Rhoads, third row. Never
Shut
seen
your any, face.
Serious. Never seen anything
That's
like
awesome.
It.
That's awesome.
And I went with these two, my friends' brothers, older brothers, and they took a white sheet and they drew that classic Motorhead face and pulled us back to the van, to the bus afterwards. We totally met Motorhead when I was 14.
No way.
Yeah, can't ever tell
And you
that.
Saw Randy Rhoads.
I did.
Oh my God.
If we're talking about first concerts, what was your first concert, Susanna?
Oh. NSYNC,
baby. Oh, yeah. They're hot.
Live.
It's cool.
Bye, bye, bye. All that was before that album.
I am pretty jealous of that, though. I'm not going to lie. I guess I'll say mine was Pledge of Allegiance with Slipknot, Rammstein, Mudvayne.
That's hard to beat.
Down back when they were like kind of just all starting in 2001.
Yeah, that's hard to beat. Right? That's a good one.
Hey, that was my second one, so I went from NSYNC
right on.
To Slipknot.
That is pretty
that's
good.
Kinda like
that's
kind of
like
our average week
that's
sometimes.
Okay.
Right?
We do that. We do that in a week. We'll go from like Pink to like Slayer in like a week or whatever.
That's all right. Hey, it's
love
good.
It.
Yeah, I don't love it.
But it makes you appreciate metal more, so that's good.
I don't love it. So.
I love it.
Did you ever go to the Tattoo the Earth tour here in Portland, what, 15 years ago?
Uh-uh.
That was really cool. It was the first time I'd ever seen tattoos combined with music, and Paul Booth was there, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't get their license quick enough in Oregon, so he had to draw on everybody with Sharpies.
Really?
Yeah, that was cool.
That's some good planning and promotion right there, I'll tell you. Way to plan a whole convention and not get your license in time, huh?
They had a whole tent.
No wonder the tour's not around anymore.
Yeah, one year. So for the 2018 Headbangers Con, first one you did.
Uh-huh.
Overall, are you pleased with how it went?
Oh my God, yeah. It was so awesome. Like, I find it, like, I consider it a huge success. I mean, luckily I broke even, which any promoter knows, your first convention, that's all you really want to do, right? Not be in the hole and then start working towards your next one. But the fact that every fan, every staff member, every celebrity, every musician, all loved it. I mean, I've literally not had not one single negative comment on any social media platform. I have had every musician that was in attendance texting me, when's the next one? Count me in. I've had their bandmates like, bro, what the fuck? Why did Davey from Pop Evil get to come and I couldn't come? Like, I'm in the same band, you know? And I'm like, bro, I reached out to you 8 months ago. You didn't answer the Instagram, you know? So it's like, I got bandmates reaching out now. I got other bands like, oh, I saw that so-and-so from this band was there. He's my homie. I want to come. Like, so it's just been incredible feedback. So on all fronts, from fans to, and then the staff loved it. Staff all were volunteers. They all work for free, and they've all signed up to do it again, you know, and all the way down the line of celebrities. So much of the fact that, like, so many of the musicians want to come back and their bandmates now that I can't fit them all. Now I have to be like, I don't want to hurt feelings and stuff, but I don't know what I'm going to do because I want them all to come, but I can't afford that. So it's a cool problem to have, I'll tell you. So, yeah.
So this year it was split, and I know it was split just because of location. And
yeah,
like
we had no choice, really.
Do you think that that worked better in some ways?
No, as far as I'm concerned, I've always thought metal is a very supportive family, and I like the family vibe you get with true metalheads. So I want the family to be together, you know, vendors, press, all the way up to celebrities, you know, and all around. I want everyone to be in one giant location, or at least attached in different rooms and stuff like that. So, you know, it is what you can afford when you start. I mean, you know, I had some people are like, oh, the vendors wish they could have been by the celebrities and seen the panels. Some people are like, oh, I'm glad we were away from the noise. And, you know, you can never please everybody, but I think that it will in the long run. I would like to have everything under one roof, you know, for sure, including the live events, too.
It was pretty cool because some of the celebrities did come over to the vendor side and walk around and check it out and talk to the people and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's cool of them to come over and at least talk to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that was awesome. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Family vibe again. Totally awesome. Speaking of putting everything together, how far did you go to start putting it all together?
13 months.
Yeah?
It took me 13 months to put that together.
Really?
Because I remember we were in a Walking Dead convention. That's where I was tattooing Morgan from Seven Dust, my partner, on Halloween the year before. And right after we flew home from that convention was when my wife had the idea to put on Headbangers Con. So it was, 12 months and 3 weeks. I literally started the day I got home, and that's how long it took. Because I did it by myself. I mean, it was 100% by myself, you know, at least the setup. I had an awesome staff once we were there, but up until 3-4 weeks before, when my wife started helping me like get plane tickets and make reservations and stuff, you know. But as far as I had to learn to become a lawyer and write contracts and become an agent and talk to people and become a booking agent and supply guy and pipe and drape guy and sound guy, and it's all these things I had to learn. But I'm so glad I did, because now I can streamline the process. I know where to delegate, what I can do, what I need to focus on and stuff like that for the next time. So the next one will take half as much time.
Yeah. And the next one, when you're talking about doing it in multiple locations still?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Do you know where they are yet?
I'll give you guys the exclusive.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be on the Queen Mary, the haunted big ship. It's like the Titanic in Long Beach. Ooh. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be on there. I've looked all over Sacramento. I've even gone as far as Jersey. I've looked in a lot of places, but again, beggars can't be choosers. I got to go at first where I can drive, my staff can drive. I can't afford to fly everyone across the world to do this thing. I'd rather put that money into bringing as many guests as I can and having the best quality event that I can. So I got to go where I can drive. So it's going to have to be West Coast the first couple shows.
Will you do Portland as well?
I'll definitely do Portland again because this is my home,
right.
You know. But it might be another, I might do another couple shows before I come back to Portland. You know, Portland's got an awesome metal scene, but just the overall populace of Portland isn't that big. And a lot of people don't fly. I mean, we get passed over all the time for concerts up here. A lot of bands don't come up here. A lot of people skip us. You know, it sucks, but it is what it is. So logically, I'm doing California, and I might head over to Orlando because I have a lot of connections. I know a lot of people and family in Orlando that can help out there. So it's all where you have people on the ground to help you out, you know, that you trust, that can look at venues for you and do location scouting and go pick up this, or you can ship stuff to them there, or whatever, you know. So it's kind of all those things factor in as one. But what's really cool is the outcry on social media of when I am location scouting, because I always post it on social media. I have fun doing it. I love looking at it. And sometimes fans will meet me at places and they're like, oh, you got to do it here and this and that. And it's really cool. And I love how involved everybody is with it. You know, come to my spot, come to this venue. Even like club owners are like, you can have my club for free, yeah. You know, come to LA, come here, come there. So it's, the support has been outrageous and amazing. And I wish I could facilitate all of them and go to all those places. And one day, hopefully I will. But, you know, for now, I can only go as far as the sponsorship dollars can take me and my staff can travel, so.
I guess we're making a road trip.
Yeah.
I also loved how you got here early and walked around Portland and hid tickets and kind of gave hints and stuff. Like, hey guys, kind of check out where I'm at. There may or may not be tickets here. Come check it out.
Dude, that was so fun. I rented one of those Lime scooters. And at first I did it just because I was like, those scooters look fun as hell, you know? So I was buzzing around town and I have a pocket full of tickets. And I went and I visited some of my sponsors like Killer Burger and a couple other places like that. And I went to lunch and I was talking to them. And I was actually going there to drop them off tickets and stuff. Voodoo Donuts, I told them I'd bring them tickets and stuff like that. But I was like, I got the idea. I was like, oh, wait, I'm on this scooter anyways, cruising around town. I'm going to hide some. And all of a sudden people started following and like, oh my God, I got these and they're tagging me. So I went into all these places, like, you know, Ground Control and all these cool ass places that I go to. And I started hiding tickets around town, like an adult scavenger hunt. And it like blew up. It was really fun. So I am going to personally, and my wife was like, why are you going out on a scooter doing that? Like, you have to get ready for the headbanger. I'm like, this is getting ready for Headbangers Con. This is me showing the people that I mean to sell tickets to, that I want to come support me, that I'm supporting them by going around town and doing this and being a part of it and just overall being a fan of it all, you know?
That's the thing. It shows that you are one of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I always want people to realize that that's why I do it first, is because I'm a metalhead. I have passion for it, you know? So, yeah, so that was fun. So I'm definitely, to kind of answer your question, I'm going to pick that up a notch even from now on. And even with the Soulfly show I got coming up, for Headbangers Live, I'm going to do that same thing. I just had a meeting next door, actually, with the owner of the Bossa Nova, and he's going to give me a bunch of tickets. And he's like, why are you just going to do giveaways and stuff? I'm like, fuck no, I'm going to do a scavenger hunt around town, man. I'm going to hop on a scooter and hide those things. And so, yeah, I'm going to start doing that for all my events because people really dug it, and it's fun to do.
So in this first year of Headbangers Con Live, Headbangers Live,
Headbangers Con is the parent company,
right,
for the convention. And basically what happened was, you know, I'm one man show. I can only do it by myself as of now, until I can afford a huge staff, hopefully one day. So it's going to be a 6-month lull in between cons. So I wanted something to keep the buzz going, you know, keep the fans there and keep people excited and passionate about metal music and keep trying to bring metal music to Portland and the Northwest and stuff. And so I created Headbangers Live, since I am friends with all these venues. Now, because of Headbangers Con, I've made all these connections, and especially with all the bands. You know, I've made connections with all these bands and stuff, and I've tattooed half these guys now. So I was like, well, I have all this stuff here. I got to do something with it, you know? And so I'm trying to bring more metal to the area, to these venues that I know, or to other areas. I've even talked to I talked to Ace of Spades down in Sacramento, talked to a club down in L.A. Yeah, I just thought it'd be cool to kind of go a step further and do, you know, present metal shows and try and do them a little differently. More meet and greets, more personable type shows, the scavenger hunt things, getting fans more involved in the metal show and the metal community in the area. That was kind of my thought process on that. So
the first one you do is Soulfly Cataclysm. Seriously?
Yeah.
Amazing.
So Soulfly, can I tell you about that one? Mm-hmm. So this is awesome, okay? So I found out... through the Bossa Nova that Soulfly was, that they were gonna probably bring in Soulfly. I was like, I want a piece of this. I love Max. I love Soulfly. And they're like, yeah, fine. You can sponsor the show and help bring them to town and stuff. I'm like, sweet. So I start thinking, because my background is, I had a reality TV show, you know? So I'm always thinking the entertainment side of things too, you know? And I had so much fun with Headbangers. I'm like, how can I combine the two? How can the public be more aware of the metal community, you know, because I don't want metal to die, you know. Everyone always says rock and roll's dead and this and that, and I have kids in elementary, middle, and high school, and luckily they listen to metal because dad doesn't give them a choice, but none of their friends do. No one listens to metal. No one's in bands, and it drives me crazy. So I want to keep pushing it as much as I can, you know. So I had this idea. I was like, well, maybe I'll kind of combine my reality TV background with metal and kind of do it on that platform, like I did metal with the convention, with the Comic-Con type platform for Headbangers Con. So with Headbangers Live, what I'm doing is at the Soulfly show, I called Jose Mangan and I was like, you're like really good friends with Max Cavalera, right? He's like, yeah, he's like my best friend. I'm like, all right, here's my idea, Jose. Here's what I want to do. I got this idea. So, and this is the first time I've actually ever discussed this too. So I am going to film a pilot for a new reality, like heavy metal reality show. probably called Headbangers Live. So my whole video team that recorded Headbangers Con is going to come down, and we are going to make a pilot there and film at the Bossa Nova. And I talked through Jose. He introduced me to Max. I talked to Max. He's super cool with it. His wife's super cool. We're going to film on the bus, the green room, live on stage, the whole deal. And they're going to be, Portland, Oregon's going to be the location, Bossa Nova's going to be the location, Soulfly's going to be the premiere, and we're going to film a pilot episode and try and put that together and at least get it on YouTube. And if not, you know, maybe shop around in networks if we're lucky. But I want more people to be involved in metal than it needs to be. So
where would you see that? Something like Vice or like Palladium? Or, I mean, do you have something in mind?
I don't,
like, ultimately where you'd like to see that?
I don't care. I just want people to see it.
I think it's an amazing
idea. You know what I mean? Like,
I like it.
I mean, how cool would it be, like, you know, you film the bus rolling into town, you do a time lapse of the band setting up their equipment, you do a sound check, you do the guys out having beers or doing shots before the show, and then you film the whole live performance. And then you film it afterwards, you know, maybe meet and greets when they're talking to fans, and then I'll be doing live interviews in between and stuff. And then on the bus afterwards, when they're all tired and beat to shit from headbanging and stuff, and then you film the bus rolling out of town. And that little formula would make just for a killer show, you know? Like, I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Same, totally.
And I know a lot of metalheads that would, so I'm going to try, you know, I did something new with Headbangers Con, and I'm going to try and do something new with Headbangers Live and do this too, so we'll see how it goes.
I think it's amazing. I'm super excited about that.
Awesome.
When we do what we do, we get to see sort of the same thing. We may not see the bus rolling in, but we are on the bus. We are watching sound check. We're doing the interview. We're seeing the show, saying goodbye to them afterwards. So it's an amazing thing. Since you said exclusive, which we appreciate, I wanted to thank you again for arranging the interview with Burton Bell. I don't know if
Absolutely.
You saw what happened with all of that.
I haven't seen it, no.
So I met him Friday night.
Uh-huh.
We were all drinking and stuff like that. It was super great. I'd never met him before. And then I found out I had the interview with him on Sunday. So I give a quick text to a mutual friend of ours, and he's like, do not talk about Fear Factory. Don't do it. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I had my questions written out, and he had, when it was time for the interview, he said, come sit next to me at the podium, or wherever, what do you call that, their booth area?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're sitting close, and he could see my notes, and I've got it scratched out.
Uh-huh.
And so throughout the interview, it was one of the most amazing interviews, because he's such a passionate person talking about when he writes something from his soul and it touches you, then we're now connected. I mean, it was just this beautiful spiritual conversation. And then he busts into what's going on with Fear Factory.
Yeah.
I sat on that interview for a month. I had no idea it was breaking news. So
really?
We put it out there, and all of a sudden, blabbermouth,
Everybody. Oh, that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's been just crazy.
Yeah, when he talks, I did see that. I did. Yeah, totally.
I think I counted like on day two, and there was like 20 major magazines that picked it up. I had no idea.
And that
was
all you.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was
That's
really
so
cool.
Awesome. I love hearing that. How crazy is it when you're talking to someone like Burton Bell? Okay, and I find this with a lot of like really boisterous metal singers, like Ryan McCombs from Soil, and Burton Bell, Brian Fair, Shadows Fall. They're the most quiet, subdued, chill, like soft-spoken guys, you know, and they're funny, but and then they go on stage, like, you know, it's like, holy shit, like, where did that come from, you know? Isn't that crazy? I mean, did you feel that too?
Because
talking to all these guys, and I had talked to them on the phone several times before Headbangers Con to get them to come, and it's like, am I talking to the real Burton C. Bell here? Because this guy doesn't sound like the dude in Fear Factory that's yelling at the top of his lungs, you know, it's crazy, so...
I know how Soil came to play at second night.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get Striper?
Striper was Dave, my partner who runs the Bossa Nova. That was his idea. He's a little older, so he's into all the old hair metal bands and all that stuff. I love him too. I got Motley Crue and Rat tattooed right on me.
I got Saxon tattooed on me.
Hell yeah. but no, he suggested, he's like, you know, I might be able to get Striper in here. And we were toying with a few different bands for that night. And I was like, hell yeah, if you can get Striper, you know. So that, I have to give him credit. That was all him making the contacts, going after them and getting them and stuff. And the coolest thing to me about the Striper show was, you know, they kind of have this stigma of, you know, the Christian rock and the, you know, the crazy clothes and all that kind of stuff from back in the day. But you have no idea. And I find this the funniest. people on social media were like, Striper, why would you have Striper? That's dumb. But these are the same guys that are commenting on, you know, Davey from Pop Evil, Burton from Fear Factory, Brian Fair from Shadows Fall. You know, all these singers and all these musicians are up in the VIP party just drooling over Striper. Just worshiping Michael Sweet and these guys. They're like, and the same guys that love all these guys are making fun of Striper on social media. And I'm like, you guys have no idea. Like, you're ripping on this band because of their appearance or whatever. And the guys that you're commenting on their stuff, they're up there watching them. You should be up there watching them too. You know, like really watching them and paying attention. Because they're amazing musicians. Like, holy shit. And that was the coolest part, was being upstairs and everyone's mingling around. And there's 29 rock stars up there, okay? All 29 were there. I think Jason was the only one because he flew in from Dangerous Toys. He flew in the next morning. They're all up there. And they're all mingling, and some are drinking, some are sober. They're all having a good old time, posing for pictures. Striper comes on, boom. They all walk to the front, and they all are just silent. And they're all just like their jaws drop, and they're just watching. And seeing that respect was so awe-inspiring. I was like, wow, this is really cool. You know, these guys are legit. So
I loved Friday night. I thought that was so much fun.
It was so fun. I love the whole red carpet party and the whole vibe and then the band. It was so great.
The most intimidated person, or the person that I was most intimidated to meet, was Jose.
Oh, really?
And he was the nicest guy ever.
Oh, he's the nicest dude ever.
He came to our booth and we gave him a bunch of code orange buttons because he was like, oh, can I have some of these? It was super cool.
Oh, that's cool. I annoy him all the time. Like, I text him probably 3 times a week. Like, bro, I need you to introduce me to this guy. Bro, you got to email this guy. I need this. And like, you know, do you want Affliction to sponsor this thing I'm doing? Like, all the time, I feel like I annoy the hell out of him. But he always is cool, and he always answers and stuff. I think he's one of those guys that he respects someone else that is into metal for the right reasons. You know, he knows I'm not into it to make money off it or a quick buck. I always say that I'm not a promoter. I'm a tattoo artist that just loves metal, and I just, you know, have the passion and maybe the intelligence to do these things. And the vision, yeah. And I think Jose's the type of guy that sees right through people that aren't like that and people that are like that. And so he's willing to help, even with how busy he is, you know. So
I listen to him a lot, and I have to say he never wavers. He is always a fan.
Oh, he's always a fan. He's always high energy. He's always in a great mood. You know, I love the dude. I've been listening to him for years and years on satellite radio. And, yeah, I love him. Like, yeah, he's a good dude.
I think that's essentially kind of how we started. We're all fans. Like, we're not in it for the money because... You know, if you're in it for the money, you're not going to make money.
Yeah, really can't be in metal for the money.
We're in it because we love metal, and we just are a fan first.
We're funny because anytime we get comped a show, which is most of the time, then we buy merch.
Oh, yeah.
It costs the same.
Oh, at the Soil show. So when, I don't know if you saw, when me and Morgan went on stage to announce Soil, I wanted to announce Soil because Ryan's a good friend of mine, and I love Soil. I saw him play on their one of their very first tours down in Florida. And so I was like, I just want to announce. And I dragged Morgan up there. He's like, you're doing this with me. He's like, all right. And he doesn't put up much of a fight, you know. So I went and I bought a Soil shirt because I got to represent. I got to support him. I went up there and I announced him. And I got off stage in the back. And their manager's like, did you buy that shirt? I'm like, well, yeah. He goes, what the fuck are you doing buying a shirt, dude? You paid for us to come here. I will give you a shirt. I'm like, no, hell no. I want to support the band. I'm like,
too.
That's how I am. And I went in there, and I was in the front row of the show, and he looked at me and made eye contact, and he threw me 4 more t-shirts.
Oh, sweet.
I was like, oh, you bastard. But then Ryan, oh, dude, I was so excited. Ryan said his little spiel, thanked everybody and thanked us and stuff, and During Halo, he, I don't know if you saw, but he jumped into the crowd, and which he's known to do on Halo, but he came right in front of me, and he like leaned against my back, and he sang Halo, and he put the mic to my mouth, and he let me sing the chorus of Halo.
Sweet.
I was like, oh my god, it was so awesome, dude. Like, I loved it.
That's who I was. That's
who
I was nervous to meet.
I've been a fan of that.
Sorry, I'm getting so excited. I'm coughing.
I've been a fan of Soil since the beginning. That's what I skated to growing up.
Oh, hell yeah.
Soil was one of those bands. I just loved it. And people are like, I don't know who this is. I'm like, dude, they're amazing.
And
they're
so
good.
Nice.
So good.
Yeah, we interviewed him.
He's super nice.
Yeah, he is.
And then also with that show, though, Pyro.
Dude, Hiro is crazy.
I don't think anybody knew what to expect, and then he came on stage and blew everybody's mind.
That's why I brought Hiro. And everyone's like, who's Hiro? Why are you bringing him? I'm like, because I'd seen him live. I'm like, just wait till you see him live. He's fucking crazy. In a good way. And I just kept telling everyone, just trust me, just wait till you see him live. And he just blew people away. And everyone now is like, oh my God. Like, he's so good.
Oh, I went the next day and bought his CD. I'm like, I need one. I have to have it now, please.
He and I got tattooed at the same time at the convention.
That's so awesome. Really cool. That's so rad.
I wanted to tell you a funny story. So Friday night when we were there, I'd never met Jerry before.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's like, that's the drummer from Trivium. So he was trying to like take a picture and he had his beer and all this stuff. And so I grabbed it thinking I'm totally talking to the drummer of Trivium. Jerry.
So funny.
I don't think he knows that.
No.
What was your very favorite moment?
I love being able to host the Derek Riggs panel. You know, being an artist, that's why I got into art, was old Iron Maiden covers and stuff. So the fact that Derek Riggs doesn't really do panels, he hasn't in years and years, and his wife and I kind of connected, you know, through email. And when I was in California last, we went out to dinner and I met Derek, and we really got comfortable with each other. And his wife emailed me one night and she's like, you know, I don't know if you're interested in this, but Derek said he'll do a panel. He saw that you started advertising panels. He'll do one, but only if you host it, because he likes you and he trusts you. And I'm like, let me think. Okay, I think I can do that. So that was really cool. Just the fact that he wanted to do one with me, and he asked, which was awesome. And he was such an inspiration to me as an artist, you know.
He's a creator of Eddie from Iron Maiden.
He is. He created the whole thing and did their first probably about half dozen covers at least. That was super special for me. And having the School of Rock play was really cool, having all those kids. And seeing what I thought was cool was I went around I knew what songs they were going to do beforehand. I told them, you guys need to do some of the songs for some of the guys that are there. So I went around to like Eddie from Twisted Sister and Corey from Living Color, and I was like, listen, they're going to play your songs. Just do me a favor, because I got no shame in my game. I'm like, come up to the stage, either show your face, clap, or say a word if you could, you know. And they're like, yeah, cool. And that was all the guys were so cool about doing that stuff. But I just only talked to those two guys, and by the end of the show, David Ellison's up there and Jason McMaster, and all the rock stars left their booth. And they're rooting on these kids. And that to me was like so awesome that they were so supportive. And it blew the kids' minds. I mean, they were up there shaking, but they still perform well. And they're playing Cult of Personality and they're playing Rush and shit. I'm like, I was in a band for 10 years and I couldn't play those songs. I mean, these are little kids. Like, they were doing awesome. So
it was nice to see their faces, like Eddie Ojeda's face when they were playing.
It was so rad. I took a lot of the kids around after they were off when the con was closed. And I took them around to booths and got them autographs from some of these guys. And it was awesome. And I probably my most favorite part is at the very end, the whole staff and a lot of the press that was there and all of the musicians and talent and stuff, we all got together for a big group picture on stage afterwards. And like that picture is probably my most favorite picture. Other than my wedding picture and my son's birth, that's probably the most favorite picture I own. So that was a huge, like, oh, okay, I can rest a little bit now, 13 months. Everyone's here. It's such a big family. Everyone came together and made something really fucking magical, you know, out of nothing, out of a concept that had never been done. Like, that was really special to me. And that everybody pulled together, all my good friends like Jerry over here and stuff.
Drummer from Trivium,
owner of Geek String Tattoo Shop.
When I first met you, somebody said, that's the drummer from Trivium.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was funny.
Awesome.
This is Jerry Patton here, by the way, owner of Geek String Legends Tattoo Shop. We're in his shop right now.
Can you guys talk about how you guys got connected?
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Oh, goodness.
Are we allowed to talk about it?
No, I'm just trying to think. Oh, okay, so I owned a tattoo tour called the Geek String Legends, and we tattoo around the world at comic cons and entertainment cons and stuff, and it's like the world's biggest tour. I've since sold the tour to focus on Headbangers Con solely, actually. But his wife, I think your wife, sent me an Instagram message or
email
or something, saying, "Hey, my husband is a fan of you guys. It was his dream to work on this tour," because it is like the tour is like the epitome. If you're a geek tattoo artist, that's what you want to do. You want to be on this tour, travel around and work at all these huge comic cons, tattooing celebrities, meeting people and stuff like that. You know, it's like the ultimate geek experience. So his wife wrote me this just lovely email and was like, you know, just give him a chance. He's a good dude and this and that. And I think I was like, well, have him come meet me at the Portland one. There's one in Portland coming up. And they came by and met. And I was like, wow, I really like this guy. I told my wife, actually, I think, you know what? He might be fake because he's too nice. Like, no one's that nice. Like, legitimately, no one's that nice. And
just a little bit.
And she's like, no, I think he's that nice. You know, and then the more I got to know him, I realized that he is that nice. So now Jerry is like, he is like the staple of niceness. So like when you, like amongst our crew now, the Headbangers crew and the Geek Strength crew, shut up, you're listening to this. When someone's super nice and you meet them, they're like, yeah, but is he Jerry nice? Or like we go to Australia and we did a show and we're like, that guy's like the Australian Jerry. He's that nice, really? Yeah, dude, that's like the Australian Jerry. Dan Maudsley is the Australian Jerry.
He's a great guy.
So yeah, he's become like the benchmark of how you measure people's niceness now. So when I did Headbangers, I didn't even give him a choice. I called up Jerry. I'm like, Jerry, you're running the whole tattoo area at Headbangers Con. Do what you need. You got this much room. Be there the day before. I need you, bro. And he's like, okay. And he handled the whole thing. So it was really awesome.
Yeah.
We had a lot of help, though. And Travis here, too. He helps out a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, and Travis, his apprentice, mm-hmm. is the one that picked everyone up from the airport and all the stars. And we put everyone to work.
It was cool. Everyone. Yeah,
his daughter was there helping with stuff, like everybody. It was pregnant cool. wife, you know.
It was cool because it looked like you were still having fun. We could see you from our booth.
It's so hard to not when you're with all the guys that you've been on tour with the whole time and you've already created that whole, like, you know, that whole aura of family, you mm-hmm. know, and then to be able to, for him to handpick everyone and say, hey, this is what we're doing, this is... if you want to get on it, you know, and we're like, oh my gosh, everyone's like pretty much fighting for the chance to be a part of it. Like, oh yeah, of course. Because he just takes us under his wing and we know whatever he's going to put his head to, it's just going to be successful. It's going to be great. And it takes a lot of people, you know what I mean? And it's not, I don't know. It's just crazy. Yeah,
the group of tattoo artists that you guys hand selected were amazing. We spent our booth was kitty corner from them and nobody was an asshole. Nobody was pretentious. They were...
oh, they wouldn't be on tour if they were.
It was such a pleasant experience.
That's good to hear. No, that's awesome.
Well. Right.
I wanted to ask you, when you gave me the opportunity to interview Eddie Ojeda prior to,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things he said was, I wonder if there's going to be an all-star jam. Mm-hmm. Is that something you'd ever consider?
So, okay. I really wanted to do that, and it was hard enough to get these musicians to trust what I was doing, because it had never been done. They're like, what do you mean it's like a Comic-Con for metal? And I'm like, well, take Shiprock Cruise and take NAMM and take this and take that and then combine them all and then that. And they're like, huh? Okay, just call me. And all the old schoolers, I had to call them and I was on the phone, like with Jason McMaster, I was on the phone for like an hour. Burton, you know, these guys, I just lots of phone calls trying to convince them. So just the fact that they trusted me enough and had faith enough to come to my event was all I could ask for, because that was hard just to get them there. I had no ammunition. I had nothing proven, no video footage, no nothing. It was literally coming on my word and Morgan's word, you know, and that was it. So I couldn't ask for more than that at that point, you know. Now that we've done this, now all these guys like Ron Keel just the other day was like, he's like, you tell Chris that the next time I am bringing my guitar, and I am getting on that stage and I am playing my songs, because that was the only negative thing, was I couldn't play music. And so I've had some of these guys now saying, well, how come Nathan Hunt got to play on stage? I was like, well, I called him and asked him because he's a friend. And, well, I want to do it, you know. So now that they've seen it and I have the panels to show live on YouTube and social media and stuff, now it'll be a lot easier. And more after the show, Morgan was like, you know what? He's like, yeah, he's like, I'm getting Tempesta on drums. Me and Tempesta will switch on and off. I'm getting so-and-so on guitar. I'm getting so-and-so on bass. And we're going to have a jam session. And I'm going to go in advance and I'm going to tell everyone these are the six songs we're doing. And we're all going to learn these six songs. And we're going to have like an all-star jam that you will never find anywhere else in the world ever. And I'm like, please do that. Like, that's what this is all about.
I think that would be great.
You know, mm-hmm. So that's definitely in the plan for next time.
Did anybody here have I'm way too nervous and starstruck to talk to you moment?
Dirk, like, yeah. Did you?
Megadeth, Soilwork. I walked by and I curtsied really? Every time I saw him. I'm like, hello, curtsy. I never talked to him, though.
I think, like, I had that moment on phone calls because I had already known all these guys from getting them to come to the con, you know. Of course, a lot of them was the first time I met them face-to-face, but I had talked to them 100 times by text or whatever. But I remember the first time I had to call David Ellefson. I mean, Megadeth's my favorite band. I'm a huge, one of the co-founders of Megadeth, like, no way. And I called, and his agent or somebody was like, yeah, he'll call you tonight. And so I was by the phone all day, like, I'm looking at my phone, like, I can't let my phone out of my sight. David Ellefson from Megadeth didn't call me. And when he called me, I was shaking. I was like, I can't press to send. Like, and I was nervous as shit, man. But then he made me two sentences, and he made me feel so comfortable. It's like, Chris, what's up? I've heard a lot about you. I love what you're doing. I've been to some cons. How can I help? And I was like, oh, my God, you're awesome. Yeah.
Terry, did you have any?
It sounded like the first time I actually emailed him back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I gotta pull over, I gotta read this. You know what I mean? I can't be driving.
I told you he's too nice. He's also a liar, which you I'm sure.
It was cool when they hooked me up with Eddie Ojeda. They gave me his they gave me his phone number, I think, and
I gave you his phone number.
Yeah, and I called him.
Uh-huh.
But then after the interview too, he would text me almost every day for quite a few days and be,
oh, that's awesome.
How's our numbers? I really enjoyed the interviews. So
that's really cool.
That was cool.
Super nice. Yeah, that's the nice thing about it is how I ended up with a group of people that were all super nice and humble and pleasant to be around and grateful to be there. I have no idea, because you hear all these horror stories. You know, I only really had one horror story, which I'll tell in a second, but the fact that everyone was so cool and got along so well, I was like, that to me is what it's all about.
In a 40-year period. You're talking, you're talking artists in a 40-year period.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could have been like, oh, that guy from the hair metal, he doesn't do shit. Or they could have been like, oh, these new kids, all they do is play fast, you know. No. They have mutual respect, and they all, like, they just wanted to party together and talk with each other. I mean, since then, like, I know, like, Eddie is now making a limited edition coffee with David Ellefson, and they met at the con, and like, so all this stuff's happening is so cool, you know. That to me was mind-blowing that happened. There could have been that one egotistical asshole that everyone hated, but there wasn't, you know. So that was good. That was really cool. So
do you have any moments, Jer?
Just meeting some of the guys I looked up to as a kid. Because, like, I was telling him, I saw you. Like, I grew up listening to them while I skated, and then there I was, like, meeting. Like, I've seen them several times, but I've interviewed him, but just when it wasn't, like, work, and it's just getting to talk to him, it was way different than doing an interview. Because interviews, I kind of just go in and just, it's work.
Yeah.
But when you're just casually talking, it's like, hey, I'm a fan.
That interview was hilarious, though. We sat down.
The time you're in that band, Soil. That's cool.
I just lost it in your eyes.
I love you. Jer was with me when I interviewed him, and it was on that Sunday. So everybody's tired and stuff like that. And I couldn't start the interview because all they would do is talk about football. And I'm sitting there being like, okay, we can go now.
Oh, God. He'll talk about the Browns all day.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Are you ready? Yeah. He's funny.
He's hilarious.
Gosh, he has the best sense of humor.
He's funny. You know how I met him, actually? Was his wife is a tattoo artist who was in the booth, and I used to own a tattoo ink company called Formula 51, and I recruited artists from all over the world for my, like, pro street team that I sponsored to kind of spread the word and stuff. And at that time, this was a decade ago or whatever, at that time she was an up and coming female artist who was from the UK. I had no UK artists, I had no female artists. I'm like, she is perfect. So I sponsored her. And I reached out to her, and I'd met her at a couple conventions, and I was like, how would you like a sponsorship? I'll send you free ink. You promote the company. This might have even been like MySpace days. I don't know. It was 8 or 10 years ago. I don't know. But anyway, so we had stayed in touch, and, you know, once a year or something after I sold the company, we'd still stay in touch a little bit. And I started doing Headbangers Con, and she had changed her name, her last name, to McCombs. And I was like, wait a minute. And I saw a couple posts. I'm like, wait a minute. When you say, I reached back out to her, I was like, when you say Ryan McCombs, are you talking about soil drowning pool, Ryan McCombs? She's like, yeah, that's my husband. I'm like, shut your face. Like, I fucking love him. He's got my favorite voice, dude. And I was like, well, so I'm doing this little thing called Headbangers Con, and do you guys want to come? Like, she's like, sure. I'm like, sweet. So yeah, he was the first guy, you know, that I talked to about it, the whole thing.
He told
and
me
now
that.
He did.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
And now since then, he actually is so gung ho about it that he wants to bring it to the UK, and he's actually already looked at venues around London.
Oh, wow.
And everything. He's that serious about bringing it over there. So it will be there one day.
That's awesome.
Sure.
He told me he likes Portland because it reminds him of London.
Oh, what, rainy and
yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
He's like, you're kidding me. I don't like the sun.
It's true.
Perfect. No, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we are incredibly excited for what Headbangers Con is going to do in the future and Headbangers Live.
Well, thank you.
Super stoked for that.
Super awesome.
I hope to always have you guys there. You're part of the ground floor, so you're stuck with me now.
More like you're stuck with us. You'll be getting our emails. So, what's going on next month? Do you need us?
We're ready.
Is there anything else you want to talk about? You want to talk about Soulfly some more? You want to talk about that show real quick?
No, I just, what is it, February 24th, Bossa Nova. Definitely come out, and it's because now you got to come out and be a part of an awesome metal band that rarely comes up to this area. B, I will be there personally in the pit, probably spraining an ACL or something, but I will be there. Come mosh with me. And come be on our new TV show. Like, come be part of this premiere episode of Headbangers Live, no matter what. It could turn into something big. So you could be in the crowd. I might interview you, might be part of it. So just come be a part of the fun.
Excellent.
Sounds good. We'll be there.
Awesome. Right on. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Stay metal.
Yeah.